This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I am not coming in tomorrow, I don't think, unless we have the same kind of little glitch we had last night. We're in the process of reworking one of our core identifiers, the account number. And pretty much it's all hands on deck with the team that I work with. It's, you know what, is there a dozen guys? I don't know if there's a dozen guys up there. It's close to a dozen. And it's pretty much all of them are working on it. Let's see, there's this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, close to a dozen. There's a close. So everybody's working on this account number modification, and there was a modification too far, and there was a side effect we didn't realize was going to happen, and so about a half a dozen of our data exports that we do from the main contribution system failed last night, so we figured out why, and then figured out what needed to be resent, and figured out that chewed up. Oh, I don't know. I think it was a little over 3 hours of the morning by the time we got that all put back together. But we put together enough notes that even if it does happen again tonight, I think the guys can handle it and I can just phone it in. Anyways, talking fast because I've got a short trip today. It's been an interesting week. My dad had prostate surgery on Monday. I had him to the hospital at 5:30 in the morning, 5:25 in the morning, which meant my alarm went off at 4, and I gave him a call, which is funny, because before I could even call them, my mom was calling me, Phil, were you going to call us? I guess she was just concerned that I wasn't up or something. I don't know. Or my dad told her to call me to make sure I'm up. And it's like, yes. In fact, when I was trying to call them, they were trying to call me, and I got a busy signal. And then I realized later she'd actually left me a message. Oh, it's a cute, cute time of life. But anyway, so got him there. He had his surgery. I was at the hospital longer than I thought, so... you know, I had a shorter day on Monday. Then I went from there, visited my dad in the hospital, went home to stay with my mom because she can't stay by herself at this point. And then when my wife came, I ran back home, got some lunch put together, took a shower, went back in. So I was there a shorter amount of time. Then they didn't let him go on Tuesday. So I went back out and visited him on Tuesday and then back to my mom's. So I was supposed to be editing, and I got some editing done, but nearly as much as if I had been home, obviously. And then my dad wanted me to come down because they were going to supposedly be releasing him as soon as the doctor got there. So I was actually down there about 11 o'clock. Well, by the time they went around and around and around and around and around, and eventually we got out of there. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon, so that pretty much blew that day. So, you know, and then, of course, I had a bunch of catch-up to do from the previous 2 days and lots of things to do, blah, 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 blah. So I didn't really get much edited last night either. I'm going to try to do a little bit on it, and then this weekend I've really got to plow through this and start pushing, because I'm only supposed to be editing for 2 weeks. It'll probably turn into 3, but I got to push now, kind of get caught up. Has lots of good input from the beta readers. A lot of people really liked this book. I had quite a few tell them it was their favorite in the series thus far. So, you know, hey, we'll see. We'll see. So that's all good. Work's all good. All good. Anyways, so I did go by my parents on the way home just to make sure everything was okay. And then my wife needed me to run by Dollar General. Try to find some almond bark, which I was unsuccessful doing. Unsuccessful. So anyways, finally kicking home now, and I'm losing my light. So, because it's 5:20 now, and sun's setting. I watched this TED Talk yesterday. I came across it, and I just thought, this is not good. I can see where it's going, but it was really, really fascinating. The TED Talk was by Jennifer Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A, Doudna. And the title of the TED Talk was, "We Can Now Edit Our DNA, But Let's Do It Wisely." Well, when I read that, I thought, are you wisely? Sure. Yeah, that's like saying, we now know how to make an atomic bomb, so let's make sure we make them wisely. But it's fascinating what they have done. More precisely, what they have co-opted. They have developed this technique for editing genomes, a new technology that's called CRISPR-Cas9. And it's pretty interesting. They realized that bacteria fight viral infections. We talked several months ago about how, by some definitions, a virus would not be alive. Virus cannot move on their own. They do not ingest. They do not excrete. They cannot reproduce on their own. They are basically a protein package with strands of DNA inside. And in order to reproduce, they co-opt the reproductive engines of cells. So they inject themselves into the cells, and it's really fascinating, all the mechanisms they have to defeat the defensive mechanism. I'm a little tired today. It's been a long week. To defeat the defensive mechanisms of the cell and drill all the way down in, and then there's a piece of them that shatters apart so the RNA can get into the cell nucleus, and then once it gets in there, it starts remanufacturing itself, and then it manufactures until it literally ruptures the cell because it has other proteins that are degrading the structures in the cell. I mean, it's unbelievable, the engineering that's there. And we've talked about the fact that when you talk about a computer virus, no one would make the assumption that there wasn't a designer for the virus, because it is absolutely fit to what it attacks. And it cannot exist on its own. You can have this virus that's sitting on some kind of flash drive, memory stick, and it won't do anything. It has to have a computer to run. Viruses are the same way. Viruses of themselves can't do anything. They have to have a living cell. So, you know, what the scientists say is, well, they came up at the same time. They came up at the same time. They came up at the same time. And then somehow they ended up, you know, forming. But you really have to have the living cell first, or the virus can't manufacture itself. It's really interesting. Anyways, so bacteria have methods for guarding themselves. Whoop, driving on the ridges. For guarding themselves against viral infections. And it's really cool. They said many bacteria have in their cells an adaptive immune system called CRISPR. It's an acronym, C-R-I-S-P-R. It stands for, where's the definition for it? It's this big, long, huge definition. It's funny. I don't have it highlighted. Anyways, and what it does is that when it comes in contact with virus DNA that's been injected into it, it chops it up and then puts these little pieces in this place where it stores this stuff so that it can recognize when that virus tries to attack it again. And in fact, these storages get passed on. So one of the scientists that was, there it is. CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. Ha. Anyways, the lady's colleague said that the Crispus locust is effectively a genetic vaccination card in cells. So, but these bacteria that have this, when they reproduce, they pass along this storage, a copy of this storage, so that those bacteria can then know how to deal with viruses. It's really interesting, really sophisticated cellular machinery. So what they figured out was that this Crispus location, Cas9, it had the ability to make extremely precise cuts in DNA. And what this used for in the bacterial cell is, I guess, those little short things are used as a roadmap, and the bacteria says, hey, if you see one of these inside, just chop it. What the scientists have figured out is they can use that mechanism and they can attach new pieces of, hey, when you see this, chop it, so that they can identify very precisely exact locations on DNA, and they can code those onto one of these Cas9 entities, and they can release it into the body, and it'll go in and go chop, 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 and chop DNA at exactly that same spot in the DNA. And then they said, once you chop DNA inside the cell will try to repair it. And if you introduce a new fragment of DNA, it will actually splice that in. So we have reached the age now where it is no longer science fiction that we could literally genetically re-engineer. They showed a picture of a bunch of normal black mice that they had turned this CRISPR loose on, CRISPR-Cas9 technique, turned it loose on them, specifically targeted to the gene that makes their fur black. And out of the litter, most of those had turned into white mice. Now this is, holy cow, good night. I mean, all I'm seeing is weaponization, you know? Because you target certain things that have to do with equilibrium, certain things that have to do with digestive mechanics, certain things that have to do with development of connections of cells in the brain. Oh, man! You know, and you introduce that specifically, if you can find a way to introduce it so it's only going after babies and things. You talk about a weapon of terror. Because of that, the lady who is doing the presentation, you know, her and her research partner have called for a moratorium and said, look, let's just pause. I'm backing into my garage. Let's just pause on all the research that we're doing here with this, and let's just wait till we have a chance to get together and talk about this and maybe come up with some guidelines about what we'll develop and what we won't develop. And that's a noble sentiment. It's noble. And she said that there's some precedent for it. She noted something that scientists all decided earlier that they wouldn't do this, that, and the other. But in this day and age, oh man, in this day and age, I would just be stunned if you could actually stop this thing from moving forward and stop the inevitable weaponization of it. It's going to be interesting. But there's really two things that I took out of this whole thing. One of them was that this machinery, this incredibly complex, precise machinery that exists to artificially introduce the editing of DNA, it's just, I was just thinking again of that parable, that proverb that says it is the glory of God. I sure hope this proverb actually exists because I quote it a lot. I should look it up. It is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. Because things that are designed in this world are just stunningly amazing and beautiful. And the other thing is, I thought is, well, he's yet another thing that I need to add to the list of the things that are going to profoundly, profoundly change our existence in the next 20 years. Because she said, you know, there's, with this, one of the extrapolations is we could make our children taller or ensure that they have a certain eye color or make their bones denser so they would. I mean, you really are talking about the opening of a genetically enhanced race. And knowing humans, I just don't think any way it's not going to happen. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.